right, good morning, St. Louis, and welcome to another exciting edition of the CAMWEX Home Improvement Show. And, you know, I'm here today to tackle all your burning questions about making your house your home. I'm your host, Rich Orris, and this is going to be a great day. I'm here to guide you through just a maze of all your home improvement challenges, whether you're wondering the best paint colors to paint your living room or how to fix that leaky faucet that's been driving you crazy, or maybe you're embarking on a full-scale renovation project. We've got you covered anyway, inside or out. But remember, this show is all about you. So pick up the phone and dial 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120 toll free to get your questions answered right here live on the air today. We're going to turn your home into your dream home together. This is my opportunity to make a positive difference in your life, in your home. But remember, without you, your questions, your remodeling needs, your maintenance challenges, anything you got, this is what makes this show so great. Don't hesitate. One more time, 314-436-7900. And we were talking before the show about some of the things we did last week and what kind of came in and some of the interesting conversations. We helped Sue try to keep some chipmunks away from eating her garage door gasket. And Melanie called in to just talk about and say how much she loves her Mosby team that helped her with her home, which was really, really nice. And of course, Carol was looking for some advice on how to remove some old concrete piers in her backyard from an older structure that was taken down and was no longer there. So we kind of helped work through that. And then my favorite, of course, was Keith, right at the end of the show, called in with the prank story about his neighbor putting a fake skeleton underneath a deck he built really, really close to the ground. So generations from now, someone's going to really have some fun with that when they go to redo, rebuild, tear down, maybe do something different, and they'll find that and have some fun with that. We also spoke a lot during the show about aging in place, ways to keep you to live in your home for as long as you can. And we also went over how to properly flash a door to a deck to really keep blowing rainwater from getting into the basement, behind the deck, through the underside of the door, the threshold of the door. It's a really good specific way to accomplish that and create an area where it will stay out for good. So we covered that and a lot of other great topics last week. So we plan to do the same this week, of course, for you. Again, anything you got, your stories, your questions, it all helps out. It makes the show what it is. Give me a call right here, right now, 314-436-7900, or toll-free 1, don't forget the 1, 800-925-1120 if you're a little further away. And, you know, KMOX goes really, really far, so we love having such a broad span, broad family audience, everybody, friends helping out, calling in. And a little bit about me. So I am a senior sales consultant for a Scott Mosby's company called Mosby Building Arts. And I have over 34 years experience overall. This October will be 23 years that I've been with Mosby, with Scott Mosby, and really trying to do things differently than anyone I really worked with, learned from how to do things, learning hands-on from the field, coming up in the ranks, and it really turned into a different experience when I got to Scott, and they started saying, we want to train you, we want you to learn things, we want to do things differently, better, we want to have a better service, we want to have all these differences about how we handle performing work, helping people out from day one to the last day that you walk off. So a lot of training, roofing, siding, moisture certifications, understanding Energy Star ratings and insulation, being trained by the Building Performance Institute on how the house should work, function, breathe, scientifically why things happen to homes, what can happen in certain instances. So understanding lead safe renovation, how to clean up, how to handle that, how to get through that, and of course master shingle applicator with GAF roofing. So a lot of learning and experience and changes. If you want things to really still to go good, you think you want them to stay the same, you might want to just constantly change everything so that you can continually do good things in what you're doing and how you're performing them. So I think we're just about at a good break time here. We've got Richard on the line, but Richard, if you could hang on just for a couple minutes, we'll get through our first break. And when we return, I'll jump straight to you and get to your question. So stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, friends, we are back. CamoX Home Improvement Show. Rich Orr is here for you. You can give me a shout. We got plenty of show left to go coming up. 314-436-7900. We have Richard on the line as our first caller has a question for us. Can you hear me, Richard?
Good morning. Yes, sir, I can.
Good morning. What do you got going on today?
I'm looking for some advice. I've been told that I should put a whole house surge protector into my circuit breaker box. They can be bought from Amazon and you wire it up to the circuit breaker box. It gives you whole house. But I have all of my electronics that have motherboards, even my refrigerator, my washer, computers, televisions, everything. Each one of those is on a circuit breaker right now.
Yeah.
What is your thought about whole house circuit breaker?
Well, so it can help cover all of those areas from a big surge coming in to your main line into the house. I mean, from what I see looking and talking with people, I don't see a whole lot of people saying that that's happened to them or they have them because they're like, yeah, I got this giant surge and it destroyed 70% of the stuff in my house. So, I mean, unless you're in a spot or an area where there's been issues that are known, then I think it's most definitely a really good idea to make sure that if a big surge like that comes in more than it should, yes, it would protect everything. And the real advantage is what they claim is it'll protect all of that stuff that you're talking about without individual surge protectors at all the individual areas. So like I have one at my computer and I have one behind my TV upstairs and behind my TV in entertainment center in the basement. So I've got three or four of these surge protectors, maybe even five around my house. So if you look and think about going around and purchasing all of them, if one can do it all, then you're done. Then you know you're protected everywhere. So it is a great thing for that, but it costs more. And I would also really, I don't know personally the lifespans of them, but I would speak greatly about that and research into that. And if it were mine, a whole home surge protector, I would leave to our licensed electricians to install, which makes it cost a little even more. When the ones behind my televisions, I buy them, they're $30 or whatever, $20 to $35, and I plug the TV and some of the other stuff, the DVD player, into it, and it works, and I know those only have a life expectancy of really 10, 15 years, you really need to think about replacing them. So if you had a licensed electrician do one to the whole house, I would have a lot of conversations on how long do these things really last and work, so that you're not, so that you understand the maintenance and when you might have to buy it again.
I've did a little research. Amazon sells one, and they have a do-it-yourself video that you can watch to install it yourself. It is not a real simple installation.
Yeah.
After it's installed, there's a green light that flashes that indicates that you are now protected.
Okay.
And I'm considering if it's worth the expense to do this, because I would probably have an electrician come in and put it in. It's not a simple 1, 2, 3, even though the video makes it appear it's very simple to do.
Yeah.
We're talking about roughly $300, maybe $400 installed.
Yeah.
That's what it would run about. So I'm considering leaving all my different appliances on individual surge protectors, although I did learn a lesson that some things that you don't think have motherboards do have a motherboard. I had a treadmill hooked up in the basement, plugged into a wall, had a lightning bolt strike across the street for me, and I'll be damned if it didn't burn out my motherboard on my treadmill.
Oh, wow. So, yeah.
So there's some things that you don't think about that are electronic or have that type of electronics, but they do. So there's a consideration there, because replacing the treadmill was, or replacing the motherboard was going to be an expensive situation, which I did. But with the whole house protector, you would then be covered 100%. That's what I understand.
Yeah, that's what the claim is, yeah, it goes to the whole thing. So it covers every breaker from when it comes in out to basically every outlet. So.
Now, I have understand that new houses, it's part of code that they come with a whole house surge protector. And I don't know that I've talked to somebody who absolutely knows that 100%, but I've been told it is now code on new houses. So it is a thing that's going to be coming up in the future, I'm sure.
Yeah, it probably is. I haven't personally heard that it's code on new houses, new construction. But it is definitely, there's a lot of things like that, like egress windows out of the basement is now code for new construction. There's, because it's just so much easier to put in when you build a house than later on. So a lot of these things can be installed during the house build and cost a quarter to a third of what they cost. If you're already there, you already live in the house. Radon is another one that's in a lot of areas that are high for radon, have a lot of radon gas. A lot of those municipalities are saying, yep, put a radon system in, because you can pipe it through the wall, put it out through the roof. It's really just a pipe you're running. It's a fourth of the cost of trying to do it while you live in the home, or if you finish some of your basement, it makes it even harder.
Sure. Okay, I appreciate you. I needed some information here, and you've done a great job. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Yep. Good question. And I'll have to do some little research on, I haven't done any in a little while, on some of the new construction codes that come out and the things that they make them start doing. And some of those things, they start out at new construction, and then they start adding them to remodeling. So like the egress window coming out of a basement, even if you build a house and you're not going to finish the basement, they have to put that in there. Most places that we work, that we perform our work with Mosby, when we do room additions, if it's a full basement that you can get into, there has to be an egress out of that room addition now. So they're advancing some of these things into remodeling. The biggest one I've heard talk on over the past 2 or 3 years that is hopefully and probably a little ways out yet, but fire suppression coming into new construction and then forcing its way later into remodeling, where if you remodel the entire inside of the home, or if you add a room addition, they'll make you do it in the room addition. In the additional space, if you double the size of the house, they'll make you succumb to some of these things. They do it with smoke detectors. And the talk is, I don't know when, but I can't imagine what the cost is going to be during remodeling either, is to add an actual fire suppression system that sprays foam, water, some kind of deal. And I've seen it also with, we've run into it a lot with laundry chutes, that you can't really, if you think about a laundry chute, it's just like a chimney running right through the middle of your home, taking the air from the basement all the way up to the second floor where you can drop your clothes down through that tube. Well, if you have a fire in your basement, it's going to shoot right up that. So now they've got all sorts of fire doors where it's metal, and when they shut, it'll help keep a fire from coming outside of that. Or at each floor, they have fire suppression pieces inside of the ductwork that your clothes go down. And basically when that gets too hot, if you got fire rushing up there, it's just going to blow up, expand, shoot out this expandable foam that stops that fire on that level. So slowing it down, getting to the next level, everything's about slowing fires down. And if you saw on the news just a few days ago out in O'Fallon in Winghaven, where the apartment building caught on fire from the outside from a grill that apparently they had some sort of medical emergency, which I could see you forgetting about your grill going if it's a bad enough medical emergency. Then did it just take pretty much half the roof right off that entire building? That whole apartment building is probably next to destroyed all the way down from the water. And it's just amazing how quickly and what can happen with those fires spreading. So it's, the municipalities are doing this on purpose, and they're trying to do good things, and they're trying to work it in. Unfortunately, it's all about safety, and it can add expense. And when they see the opportunity, like for us at Mosby, when we go to build something and they go, yep, you're getting into this, you're getting into that, you're tearing all the drywall out, you've got access to the attic now from drywall removal, update all the smoke detectors, make them up to code. And it's hard for us because we have to follow what they do, but we also learn and understand the importance of that. So whose decision is that? It will get you out of your house quicker if you have the latest updated code compliant smoke detector system. And again, those are items that wear out 7, 10, 12 years. I would say every 10 years, you just need to replace every single smoke detector, buy a whole new system. It doesn't need to be rewired and all that, but you can get all new that talk together, and they'll be better than they probably were 10, 15 years ago. They'll work better, and it's just a good safety thing to do. So, again, we're here for a while. We're going to get into our break, but we've got plenty of show, plenty of time for you today. Another hour and a half to come, so 314-436-7900. Is where you will find me. So more calls, questions, answers when we return. All right, friends, we're back. Camo X Home Improvement Show. We got a lot of time for you, a lot of things we can talk about. Rich Orr is here at your service today. You can find me right here. Any question, any maintenance thing, remodeling, whatever you might be kind of wondering about your home, feel free. Give us a call today, 314-436-7900. And I had a couple of different interesting conversations with a couple of my long-term clients that we've worked with over years. And they're kind of like you guys. They will call and they will ask advice. They will just have me out to kind of look, check something. And I got into a really interesting conversation just talking about the way things are today and how they are with one of my clients, and he's an insurance agent for State Farm. And we were talking about homeowners insurance, and I was telling him about when I kind of went over a lot of that on the air one day and learned what percentage of people don't have homeowners insurance. And it very surprising to me how many actually don't. And he was talking about kind of like with us, how the cost of building has gone up so much and everything's changed. And so the insurance rates are going up because it costs more to build the same thing. So when you have a house that's only 1,000, 1,200 something square feet, and now we're up to purchasing those houses at 200,000, 250,000, the cost to build something like that is even more than that. So if it was a total destruction thing, if it burnt down, tornado, that, and they needed to rebuild, you can't build a house that size for $200,000 anymore. You just can't. So they're having to insure for more, and people are like, oh, I feel like I'm overinsured. And he's trying to reassure them that go ask somebody to build you a house this size and see what they tell you and see what it's going to cost and what it's going to take. And we have to get rid of the home that you have. It's already here. So it's even more than just empty lots starting over. We have to make a house go away and build a new house. So it's more of an expense, and it's like inflation, like everything else, just raising those expenses on everything to everybody. So, but think about that homeowner's insurance. Think about at least a minimum, have some sort of homeowner's insurance to help yourself out. Because if there's a catastrophic event, you will wish that you had it for sure. So, hey, we've got Graham on the line. For everybody else, plenty of time still. 314-436-7900. Let's go to Graham and see what we got going on. Are you there, Graham?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey,
thanks for having
me
on.
How you doing? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, doing well. I'm just wondering what you think the best way to patch up a plaster wall is.
Oh, so the what we usually do is start out, because they're so thick, with adding a layer of drywall inside of the patch to fill some of the space. So you kind of, then when you use your actual plaster around it and then over it, you're using less plaster to do that. So you kind of rough the surface, maybe a little piece of chicken wire over it, and then you can fill in around that piece of drywall and over top of it and into the chicken wire and everything to hold that on there. Plaster patching is becoming more and more of a lost art in professional people to do that work. So more and more times we just get into strip the whole wall down and drywall it corner to corner. That way you've got a whole new wall all the way across. And we do that a lot by looking and kind of testing around the wall. If it's an interior wall and it's a framed wall, what we find people doing all the time is kind of chasing these patches where they'll have like a 2-foot circle patch that was bad, but it's kind of going bad all over. You got a 12-foot, 14-foot long wall, and you do this area, and then 2 years later, you're kind of doing this area, and 2 years after that, maybe you got cracks or you're kind of doing this area. So a lot of times we'll just revert to, you know, during a remodel, strip that whole wall down and just drywall that whole wall, retrim, get it back up, and then you've got a new smooth drywalled wall.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's kind of what I've seen as well, like just going around hardware stores and looking online. The lost art of plastering seems evident. Most folks are all the resources I found were more on the drywall front. The things I'm looking to patch, though, are fairly minor. And you said something interesting there at the end about sort of testing the condition of the wall elsewhere. So, you know, when it's more appropriate to just switch the whole thing around, is there like a good way of probing that?
So it's basically
just some hairline cracks.
Mm-hmm. It's basically knocking and pushing and just kind of like taking your fingers and pushing on that wall to see if it feels like that top surface is loose, because it'll look perfect and stand there really well. But if all the plaster that's going through the lath has broken off the back and the lath is dried out and shrunk, that wood, you know, those wood strips that are in there, those kind of shrink, and the plaster that's inside and between them and kind of locks it in there breaks off the back from age, then that plaster will kind of move, and you'll kind of just feel that wall moving a little bit. You can, although you don't always, and you won't always see that. It won't always necessarily bulge, but it will just kind of be loose. So if you push on it, you'll kind of just see that plaster go in and out just a little bit. And if it's doing that, then it's in that state there that it's overall wearing out, and you might want to consider drywalling the whole wall at that state. But if you're minor things, then just mixing up some plaster. We do a lot of the cracks. When you do the cracks, you got to dig them out and really get the loose stuff out. A lot of cracks in plaster, minor hairline cracks, end up being an inch or so, inch and a half wide by the time you dig them out. And wider cracks could end up being 3 or 4 or 5 inches wide when you dig out all the loose around it to then plaster in that crack with actual wall plaster. Have you ever used any plaster at all?
No, I've only had drywall before getting this house.
Yeah. Yep. It's an art, and it takes practice getting the right mixture. If you do it too dry or too wet, it'll fall right out as you're even trying to put it in. So there's some practice and a little bit of artwork to getting the mixture consistency just right to really hold when you fill it and put it in.
Gotcha. All right. Well, thanks.
All right. No problem. Good luck with the plaster there, Graham. Definitely it takes some learning, but definitely worth figuring out, especially if you're a do-it-yourselfer in an older home, that these things are going to happen. And as you hang pictures and move where pictures are or redecorate rooms, you'll end up with holes in the wall where nails were. When you pull the nail out, it brings a chuck out with it. There is a trick that they say, put tape on the wall before you hammer a nail into the plaster or a screw into the plaster to kind of hold that plaster. So when later on your picture will cover it, and when you take it out later on, it kind of helps keep that sturdy and hold the plaster around it, so you're not just breaking chunks out as you're moving pictures around or taking them down. But it's definitely a good thing to figure out if you're a do-it-yourselfer painting-wise and you now have a plaster home. Just do it till you get it right and it works, and you'll be good at it after a while. It just takes time. That's pretty much how I learned years and years ago. Bucket with the tools and the plaster mix and everything, and it was my father's way of training. I don't know that I was, maybe a little more guidance might have helped. I felt at the time, but I was pretty young. I was new to the industry, and my father basically said, well, you've seen Charlie do it, and you've seen myself do it, and the bucket and all the stuff you need's up there. Go up to this apartment and plaster patch this wall. And it took me about 5 times longer than it took them when everyone else that knew what they were doing would do it, but eventually learned and got better at it and started to figure it out. So Hey, we've got plenty for everybody. Don't forget, I'll be right here. We're going to get into our last break of this hour here, but plenty of show left for you. 314-436-7900 is where you can find me. Don't touch that dial. All right, friends, we are back. Hey, I do have to warn everybody, we have Cardinals baseball coming on Camo X at the end of this segment coming up at 12:20. But for everyone that wants more home improvement, if you're not listening to the Cardinals, you can jump over to 97.1 FM and pick right up where we left off. The second hour of the home improvement show will be on there. So jump over there and give me a call. Same number, 314-436-7900. And speaking of calls, we've got Sterling on the line, has a question for us. Can you hear us, Sterling?
I can hear you loud and clear. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I live in the city in a 100-year-old house, and I've lived there 30 years. So when I first moved in, I was young enough, and I put out bad insulation in my attic. So I went right over the joists. I've got a hip roof.
Okay.
With no insulation on it, but on the deck of the attic floor, I rolled out bad insulation.
Okay.
Over the years, we added HVAC system up there. We have a kind of a Unico, those high velocity.
Yeah.
Systems.
Yep.
So I have an air handler up there. And over the years, we've done wiring and cable wires, and so the insulation is sort of a mess. So my plan is to pull all them bats out and have somebody professionally do some electrical, replace my air handler.
Okay.
And I'm kind of trying to figure out what to do for insulation. I've done some foam in the house now, spray foam, and I like that. But
okay.
What do you think?
Well, so one thing I would definitely check into is making sure that once you take all that bat insulation out of that attic, have an electrician check the attic for knob and tube wiring. Make sure that that's...
Definitely.
Yep.
I got very little. I know I have some, but it's probably up there two or three places. So we replaced most of it, but I think there's some up there.
So, yeah, if you replace the rest of it, then you're good to do pretty much whatever you think will work the best. What I offer a lot and talk about is using the blown-in cellulose insulation,
right?
Because it is denser, kind of thicker, it compacts more than fiberglass, and fiberglass blown in insulation will let a lot of air travel through it. If you force air at it, it will blow through it. It holds temperature difference well from one side to the other, and the air inside of it helps hold that temperature difference, but when air blows through it, then you get the cold air on the other side of it, and it's no longer helping you out in those situations. So if you do have attic ventilation happening and you do have air moving around in that attic, I would go to a cellulose on the floor that will block more of that air from blowing through. It just blocks more air infiltration than the fiberglass does. Or the other way to do the spray foam that you like so much, what kind of roof is on top of the house?
So it's a shingle, tab, architectural shingle.
Okay. So, because the other way you could do it, and this would work great with your air handler, and when you look at kind of the price points of what happens, of course, fiberglass is going to be the least expensive, and then the cellulose is going to be in the middle, and then the spray foam is going to be the most expensive. But what you can do is on the underside of the roof, you can put ventilation baffles that run from the soffit, the exterior wall of the home, up to the ridges and where the vents are in on the top of the roof, and you put these baffles in. It's kind of egg carton material type stuff that fits between the ceiling joists, roof joists, and you'll run them all the way. So you want to cover, it'll cover all of the sheeting on the bottom side of the roof so that air can flow underneath that sheeting. And then you spray foam the underside of the roof on top of all of that. So that will,
okay,
basically what that does is you take all the insulation off the floor, your air handlers on the floor, you move that thermal break, or what we call the envelope of the house, to the actual roof. And you've got your baffles with air moving, so that'll still cool your shingles on the back side when it gets hot out, and it'll completely separate and completely air seal that attic. So your air handler, you won't lose any heat, any air out of the roof anymore once that system is in. So that's kind of a ABC, good, better, best, and your price points go the same way, like $1 sign, $2 signs, $3 signs, but you get the most out of the last one that will really, with the foam, help you out and keep all that temperature from outside to inside separate. You'll get a lot better insulation value out of that, and it's also because of the air sealing.
Well, and I thought about that. I think that makes sense, and that's kind of what I want to do. But by not having insulation on the floor of the attic, aren't I losing... I guess the whole attic becomes the barrier, is what, to the house.
Yes, exactly. So right now your barrier is the ceiling line.
Yeah.
And your air handler is on top of that. So your air handler is essentially outside.
Exactly.
When you do that spray foam underside of the roof, it puts that all inside, so you don't have a concern with the ceiling line anymore. Because it's basically inside the house.
Yep. I think that's the way I'm going to go. Yeah, it costs more, but I think for energy conservation, for my air handler, and it's lasted a long time, even though it's been outside, but I know it's on its last leg. I mean, I got 23 years out of it. And,
yeah. Yep.
You know, it's R22. It's R22, so.
Yeah, so it'll be something worth talking about both ways, understanding how it works, what it costs, and then what you have to do is kind of weigh that against how much longer are you going to be in the house, who gets the house when you're done. If your children are going to maybe keep the house, then it's a really good reason. So you do got to balance it against that. So when you see both ways and they go, well, this is this and this is this, then you'll know and understand, and then you can kind of make the decision, is it really worth it? How much longer am I going to be here, and how's all that pan out for you?
Okay. All right.
All righty.
Thank you.
Absolutely. You are very, very welcome, and we do that on a daily basis with everything that we do, even looking at a privacy fence that's wood against vinyl. What's the maintenance? How long are you going to have it? How long are you going to live there? And just kind of scaling out, okay, what's the best thing for me? Not just the home. I've seen a lot with solar panels. Solar panels in our area take a long time to recoup the expense that you end up against. So it's worth looking into, thinking about, and testing all that out. Great things to do. So, hey, for everybody, next hour, you'll hear me on 97.1. Stick with us there. Come back. We'll have another hour of home improvement for you. You can find me, same number, 314-436-7900, and we'll be right back after this break.